That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 121 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 6th of January, 2023. For to say hi, I'm Conall O'Moran. We're going to make your life much easier in 2023 because that's what one of this episode's guests, or should I say his robots, say they do for a living. And we have a family-owned clothing company that started making corsets but has gone through quite a few pivots since then. But first, some housekeeping. I want to give a huge shout out to Tom Murphy and De Facto Shaving Oil for having supported the podcast for the last couple of years. They've decided to stay with our Ireland's best business podcast as an advertiser, but I am delighted to say that for 2023 we have a new sponsor, Dundeal.ie, who want you to know that it's the best place to buy your next car because they have all the best makes, models, dealers on their platform. Welcome Dundeal to Team GBS, and we will hear more about Dundeal.ie in the coming weeks. And some feedback from listeners regarding our most recent podcast. I had one well-known business veteran on to me to say that he was inspired by Antoine Xavier's interview on episode 119, that he has decided to continue to run his business for a couple of more years. So that's what I call a result. And the numbers of people who wanted more investment advice following Aidan Donnelly's interview on episode 120 means we will be returning to one of my own favourite topics very soon. Investing is really simple. It's only charlatans who make it very complicated. Do listen back to Aidan of Davies on episode 120 if you want to know how to make some easy money in 2023.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best shaving oil. Made in Mayo, sold worldwide.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Right, episode 121, that's this one. For the next 45 minutes or so, headphones on and listen to some more great business insights and inspirations, as I say, brought to you by Dundeal.ie. Now, shortly after the Second World War, a man called Jack Murphy founded a niche corsetry business in Skerries, Dublin. Well, we know that corsets went out of fashion, and there were the inevitable pivots with some business bumps along the road. However, the brand called Jack Murphy is now stocked in shops in Ireland, UK, France, Germany, Netherlands, Austria, and far beyond. And if you don't know the brand's kind of style, well, it's very tweedy in a Peaky Blinders kind of way. It's actually really lovely and very much on trend. And the business is still owned by the Murphy family, where Sarah Murphy, I'm so pleased to announce, has just told me she's just been made the CEO. Sarah Murphy, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'll have to tell my dad now.
Because the dad was, until this very moment, yeah, CEO.
Till right this minute.
What does being CEO mean? What are you in charge of?
Oh, God.
What's the business, in other words?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I suppose it's everything. It's trying to make sure everything runs, and he's been doing a very good job. We've had a lot of problems along the way, and it's a difficult thing to do, but also very, very exciting. So,
but why do you choose to do it? Because once upon a time, you were a ski instructor.
Well, no, I wasn't a ski instructor.
Oh, I thought you were a ski instructor.
No, I did ski seasons.
I did
work in a ski school, but I was a receptionist.
Okay, okay. You're only saying that because you're thinking that all your pals are going to be listening to this and they're going to say, she did not.
Well, I can tell you what it was in French. It was an hostesse d'accueil.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very posh, very posh. But for what reasons that you will explain, 4 odd years ago, you decided to get involved with the family business.
Yeah.
Now, go back to all those years ago. Second World War, your dad was in the Second World War. He was in the RAF.
Yeah.
And to say your granddad.
My granddad, yeah.
And he got into corsets.
Yeah, I think... So he was a very good friend of mine, actually. And,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together. And he was working in the garment industry before he went to war.
But hang on a second now, you told me he did radars in the Second World War.
Yeah, he trained as a radar control person.
And then went back into the rag trade.
Yeah.
Kind of odd, but...
Yeah, went back into the rag trade. And he when he got home, he married my granny Fran, and they got married in Cabra Church, actually. So they were from Cabra and then moved out to Skerries, and he just decided to start.
Must have been like the Wild West back then.
I'd say so. I still find it crazy that they did business with paper and telegrams and not even phones all the time, and letters. And
God, you are young.
No, it's. I mean, I know, but it is crazy to think of it.
Phone? Yeah. Phone. Okay.
I'm not that young.
So your granddad chooses, as I say, to in, out, but out again into the corsetry business. Did he ever tell you why corsets, not hats? Why not jackets, coats, shoes?
He said it was kind of a niche at the time, and it wasn't. It was corsetry, but also underwear and lingerie and stuff like that. So he would have, he actually said that he went into larger women's underwear, and that was a niche at the time. Yeah. That's kind of, he was, he didn't really let too much out, my granddad. He was...
I bet you now the two of you sitting there having the old chin wag that you probably learnt an awful lot of. My own dad, I remember driving along with him, and you do, by osmosis, you do pick up stuff.
Yeah, you do. I mean, my dad's quite like him in terms of they're a little bit, they keep their cards close to their chest, and I need to learn to do that a little bit better.
No, because you're now on That Great Business Show, and you are now going to spill the beans entirely.
Spill the beans.
I bet, how does the business work?
God, where to even start?
How big is it? How many people do you employ?
Well, we're very small now. We look like a bigger business because of how we approach the business, and we would have been a lot bigger. Maybe it was 4 years ago, but even... like the business took a big, big hit in the recession, like really, really big hit. And they did do a lot of work to combat that, and they stayed alive and did very well. But it was really dwindling over the last maybe 10-ish years.
Because it's a bloody hard business to get
to be
involved in.
I mean, one of the things that I actually did a program called Going for Growth for women entrepreneurs.
We know Paula Fitzsimons so well.
She's fabulous.
She's a huge supporter of ours.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's such a wonderful program. And
it changes people's perceptions and minds and business abilities.
Yeah. Gave me so much confidence. I had Una O'Hagan as my lead entrepreneur, and the
we
confidence I got.
Well.
Yeah.
She hasn't been on yet.
Well, now's our chance. but I found that... sorry, I forgot the question now.
I was asking about how you ended up there, but that you were telling me that the business had been large.
Yeah.
But it had a right smack. I mean, we're talking about the bad one. You actually had to wind up at one stage.
Yeah, and it was nearly like it had just kept dwindling. It wasn't an immediate shock because... I don't know why, actually. I don't know the full details. But realistically, fashion, clothing businesses are run by the fashion world. And the fashion world is seasonal, and you have to create everything every season, and new products and new colours. And that's a huge thing to undergo. Like, if you can imagine
any... because you're trying to look into tomorrow all the time.
All the time.
I met Helen McLinden over the Christmas period, and she... This Christmas was telling me that she is designing for next Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we're looking at now. So we're looking at autumn, winter I'm selling autumn winter 23, starting to sell this month. We've sold spring summer 23, and now
spring summer 23
that's okay. Sold, yeah. And then we're looking to do spring summer 24, and probably in March we'll start looking at autumn winter 24.
Wow. I mean, it is nuts.
Yeah, it's really hard to get your head around.
But I presume once you get onto the cycle, it kind of runs because you know that it's expected.
Yeah, a bit. Like, but then there's times where, like, my dad's in the design and production area, and he could come home and go, look at this amazing fabric that I'm after finding, or somebody's just sent me, and then that changes. So then you're trying to look at what products that would work in, and whether that, because that's part of it as well. It's not just, you know, it doesn't flow always. Sometimes it's trying to figure out what will work for what product. And
to explain that better, you brought in not one, but two hats with you.
Yeah.
Because these are new to the range. And we have given them a new name. You can announce the name at another time. But they are wool felt.
They're wool felt. They've been in the range for a very long time. This is a new colour. But they are a wool felt hat that look like just your standard hat. But they are nearly water proof. We're quite particular about what we say is the functionality of our product. So this would be water resistant.
Or it's a hat.
But as a hat, yeah.
No, it's a hat. I'm telling you, it won't drive a car.
You're like my dad. He said, just call it a waterproof coat. I'm like, no, people need to know a little bit more information. So they're great hats, but they crush and like as in...
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. You can pop them in your suitcase. And,
well,
yes, yeah.
Back to your business.
Yes.
Is that you went through a big, big, big bump.
Yeah.
You came back out of it and now you are trying to expand again. But I just read out there for you that you are in outlets between Ireland, US, Canada, Japan, Denmark, Austria, Netherlands.
Yeah.
You're not that small.
No, I mean, we're like right now we've just gone to 4 people in Ireland. Like that's our business. That's who runs it. And that includes me and my dad. So that is small. Now we've got a great...
But everything else is outsourced, I presume.
Yeah, we've got a great team of freelancers and we work with the same people all the time. So there's a lot of people who are involved in what we do, but in terms of our employee status, I suppose. But I think what we did was, you know, when I started, it was August 2018, and I came on in like a marketing role trying to just see what I could do. I didn't really know for sure. I've always loved clothes and I love what it makes you feel. And when you can, like today, I went and got dressed for this. You know what I mean? Like I like that.
Dressed for radio. Love
yeah.
it. Old fashioned.
Yeah. I think it's kind of important.
Do you know that on the BBC back in the day that the newsreaders used to put on their dicky bows?
Did they?
I promise
before
you.
Before they read the news?
To read the news.
Wow.
It was a very formal thing.
Yeah.
So you are almost formal.
Almost formal.
To come on to Ireland's Best Business Podcast.
Yes.
So thank you very much for that. Please, I go down little rabbit holes, so I've got you off on another tangent. Back to your business. I'm very good to be back in studio again after Christmas.
But that's where it kind of comes from, I suppose. Like my granny was a big influence on me as well, Fran, and she always got dressed for the day. And even when she was, I remember when she was sick one time, she was in convalescence, she was getting better, and I called in to see her and she said, with great pride, she said, I put my shoes on today. And I thought that was really quite cathartic. You know, like that's something that's really important to people and it makes you feel a certain way when you dress a certain way. So that's something that I'm really quite interested in, and I love that that's what our clothes do for people as well.
And your clothes being the Jack Murphy brand, you have, how do you differentiate? How do you sit there? Do you sit there or does your dad sit there saying, we've got to make it look different to Hackett or different to Polo Ralph Lauren or different to what? Who do you compare yourselves with?
We would look at Ralph Lauren as a pinnacle, like what they've done in his lifetime as well. You know, like that's quite a short business span to have done what they've done. They're a great marker to look at. Patagonia, really, really interesting what they've done in terms of their waterproofing. And that's something that we're very interested in. I'm trying to think of Barber are quite interesting in terms of their wax. They've changed it up quite a lot in the last couple of years. But it's... I don't know if my dad would agree with me on this, but...
You're the CEO now. He's history. Tell him.
He'll love to hear this. But no, I think there's a certain amount you can do looking outwards and seeing what everybody else is doing. And then realistically, you've got to come back and think of who we are and what it means to us and what it means to the brand and the business, you know.
Now, there's another, you were referring there to other firms. I remember listening to the dad of the Pratts who were, they used to own the Avoca.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being interviewed by Pat Kenny, and I just heard one thing that I found really, really interesting. There was one of the huge... Italian brands, you know, the one with all the colours, what do you call it? Whatever. They had, when it was being interviewed by Pat Kenny, they had something like 800 outlets. And Mr. Pratt Sr. said they started almost on the same day and they had something like 8 outlets versus 800 for the Italian one. And he said it was lack of capital, access to capital.
Mm.
So in your case, to grow, you have to have very deep pockets to get the product out there.
Yeah, and not even just to get it out there, but to actually bring it through its life cycle. You know, this is what we want to do. How long is it going to take? You've got to make samples. You've got to get lengths of fabric. You've got to get trims. You know, there's a lot of work involved in actually the final product, you know, and what it looks like. And then sometimes things happen like, I can't even remember if it's recent or not, but like sometimes a trim won't come and you'll go, okay, well, let's see what it looks like now. And sometimes that works. You know, it's not always, that's kind of what I like about this business. It's a little bit chaotic at times.
All businesses, no matter what, are a bit chaotic. And it's correctly say, no trim, we'll make it fit or whatever. So what is your ambition now that you're the CEO?
I'm the CEO. My friends slag me about this. I say I want to go global.
But maybe you do.
Yeah.
You look at, what is it, Sculpted by Amy.
Yes.
Amy Connolly.
Yes.
She has gone global. She was in here with us about 2 years ago here. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Always just drops, the jaw drops when I think of what she's doing.
Yes, definitely.
There's no reason why you would not go global. Yeah. And Paula Fitzsimons has also taught you that on Going for Growth, because she's not interested in people who don't want to go global.
No, definitely
not. So she's actually on your back.
Yeah. No, it's such an amazing program. I think it's that weird thing that Irish people sometimes have, that you're like, do I go for it or can I go for it? And like that kind of doubt. And when...
Do you know that the younger people have no doubt like that at all?
Yeah.
It's just
global. I love that.
Well, you can learn it.
Yeah, I'm trying.
And Paula Fitzsimons will kick it into you anyway. Yeah. So let us say, honestly, would you love to be a global brand?
Yeah, but I mean, I would like to be a global brand, but sustainably. And I think that sustainable...
Well, that goes without saying nowadays, isn't it? You're not going to do it without being sustainable.
But I think it's about sustainable growth as well. You know, you shouldn't take on any retailer or, you know, that's not what we are. You know, we need to make sure that the people that we're selling into, who are stockists, actually match our values, or there's something that works. You know, I think it's one thing that in the beginning when I started in with Jack Murphy, I just thought like you could throw everything at it and it would all work. And I quickly learned that doesn't always work.
There are many.
Yeah.
Many other competitors.
Many competitors, but also I think if you get really, really, really strong in what your business means and who you are, and I mean that with me and my dad and our family and what we want this business to represent, then I think you can start to grow. So I feel like we're still very much settling out of a very, very tumultuous period, and now we're getting, you know, the foundations laid and want to get into growing, but not growing to the point where you can't manage it and the point where, you know,
go global, you will have 3,000 or 30,000 or 300,000 people working for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're cool with that, that's fine.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I suppose you would have to.
What is it like working in a family business? Does it ever stop when you go and meet your dad, whether it's for a cup of coffee or whether, I don't know, whether you live at home or whatever, but does the business always come up, bubble up, and you have a chat about it? You're watching TV, he says, that's a nice jacket.
Yeah, like that would happen a lot. Like you would talk about things like that quite a lot. But with particularly my brother as well, but... We did try and make a rule in the beginning because I was getting very stressed about all the conversations about work. And now we are quite good about, you know, when we're home, we're home. Because it's not really fair either on everybody else. You know, if we're both talking about something that they don't really have anything to do with, you know what I mean? So there is a little bit of crossover and it is definitely not easy to be in a family business. But on the flip side of that,
that was a ready-made business for you.
It was a ready-made. Well, that's true, definitely. But also, we both want the same things for the business. We just sometimes go about it slightly different ways.
So. Which is what human life is as well. So what can Team GBS, that's our lovely listeners, what could they do for you? Because like you are not in all shops in Ireland, for example.
No, we're not. We're not all around Ireland. We used to be. We used to be in a lot more shops. I suppose it's... have a look and see if it's something that people like. And
but it is lovely. I mean, I'm not just saying that. It's the colours. It's all very tweedy in a nice way, well, not in an old-fashioned way.
No, and actually one thing that we've been discussing recently is like traditionally clothing was bought to last and it was bought to be mended and embellished and altered and passed on. And then, you know, that's what I think is really, really special about clothing is that you can do that. Like I'm wearing my granny's scarf today and, you know, that's something that is something that I hope that Jack Murphy will do for our all of our customers, you know, that they can have
it's
that.
It's a nice aspiration, but of course, every family, junior members of families will hate you because hand-me-downs. No.
Yeah, well, I suppose it works because I'm the oldest, so maybe that's what it is.
So go out, have a look. Jack Murphy is the brand.
Yeah.
And obviously it'll be a brand close to you very, very soon. Yeah. What can you do in terms of your 1 year, 2 years, 3 years hence? What will you be doing?
I hope to have a very big mark on the domestic market. So I hope to be in quite a lot of stockists here. And I would imagine that our European, specifically certain countries in Europe and our North American market will have expanded quite considerably. So that's
you had been in Kilkenny Design. You would like to get back into Kilkenny Design.
Yeah.
Evelyn Moynihan is an avid listener to the podcast because she was on with us. And we'll ask Evelyn whether she'll have a chat with you.
Yes, that would be
fabulous.
Because
they are so supportive.
Oh, they're
of
fabulous.
Irish
they're a fabulous
product.
Company. Yep. Yeah, they really are. And, you know, we get very excited about being that part of that. Like we're hoping to be in Dublin Airport soon and being part of that Irish contingent because a lot of people think of Irish product as not what it actually is. Like we are a modern company and yes, it's heritage, but it's contemporary, you know? So it's very exciting. And
now, did you read the email that you were sent?
Yes.
So you do know what the final question is.
Yes, and I feel like I've forgotten my answer.
That'll be a first. I've had two refusals of people saying, I won't tell you. And I had to kick them out, or I had to kick it out of them. Who would Sarah Murphy, the new CEO of Jack Murphy, hire in a heartbeat?
I have a few.
You're allowed to have a few.
Yeah. I think Yvonne Chouard, if I'm saying his name properly, from Patagonia, is phenomenal at sticking to his values and believing in what he was doing. And it's really kind of like the antithesis to business, really, is what he's done.
Hasn't he just made his company
given
it away? Well, he's investing it into saving the Amazon forest or one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Cool. Amazing. And he also is really...
Wouldn't say his kids think so.
Well, but I don't understand why people say that, you know, like, we all have to work for what we've got to get, you know.
I'm joking. So Mr. Patagonia is one man.
Yeah. And on a total flip side, I think that Sarah Blakely of Spanx is a marketing genius. I listened to a couple of her podcasts and just the the way she's gone about it, you know, like the pushing to get her product in and then being on the floor and selling it to customers on the floor when it's, you know.
Do you sell?
Yeah, that's my area, sales and marketing. But
no, but I mean, do you actually go on the floor and sell?
I have, yeah, but I would sell to retailers.
Do you tell
now.
All women, I'm guessing that you probably sell mostly to women, is, God, that looks lovely on you.
No, I don't tell all women. I tell them when it does look lovely on them. I do, I swear.
So do you say, no. I would try something else.
Yeah, if somebody put something on and I didn't think that it was right for what they should work, like sometimes you'll change a colour or a shape or a length, and I think it's important, you know.
What's the split between men and women as your customers?
It's actually about 75-25.
75 women.
Is quite unusual for our style of product.
So Peaky Blinder ets.
Yeah.
If you like. It's lovely stuff. Yeah. I really would. It is very simple. JackMurphy.ie, isn't it?
.ie, yeah, exactly.
It's so lovely to look at. So just if you had a chance just to look at the colours. They're really good, lovely.
Yeah, and I mean, when you feel it and try it on, one of the things we love is when people put on a coat and they like it on the hanger, and then they put it on and they go, ooh, and they get really excited, you know. And we used to do Bloom in the Park and the RDS horse show and stuff. So I would sell with my family, you know. We were brought in when we were kids to do it when we were 15, 16. And you'd have one woman come and she tried on, and her friend would see her and they'd go, oh my God. And then you'd have five people and they'd all have different colour coats on, but they'd look fabulous, you know.
Luke Delaney, who's our sound engineer today, yes, wants you to do that ooh thing again. He said, ooh, do it again.
Okay, it feels weird. They go, ooh.
On that note, Sarah Murphy, that is fantastic. Please do come back when you are expanding to the world, and when you're bringing Jack Murphy further to the world.
Absolutely.
Anybody who wants to find you will find you at Jack Murphy.
Yeah.
The website is sitting there. All the contact details are there.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to stalk you, talk to Sarah Murphy. CEO. Sarah, lovely to have you on that great business show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Are we superstitious or what? Did you ever notice that when things are going really well in business, that people drop their voice when they're telling you how good things are, as if saying it out loud and proud will attract bad karma or something? We all know that one of the biggest headaches for many sectors in Ireland at the moment is finding staff, as the economy here is arguably at full employment. And that's particularly difficult for the hospitality sector, where I've been told that some restaurants can't open for lack of staff. Now, that's where Bear Robotics comes into it. This company claims to solve problems and make lives easier because they cover staff shortages in the hospitality and nursing home sectors. What they do is really like science fiction. I've seen the videos of their robots serving drinks, food running and table bussing. Now, real people are involved, but some of the drudgery is removed, and Malachy Ryan is head of sales with Bear Robotics, and he's just taught me a brand new word, cobot. Malachy Ryan, welcome to the business show. What is a cobot?
So basically what a cobot is, that it works with humans and it's to serve a human. And the old analogy was everybody was afraid of a robot. A robot's going to come and take your job. But a cobot is actually to enhance a human's job. And there's actually been done many examinations and research where cobots installed in the right applications actually help to grow the number of staff needed because it deploys them to do interesting stuff, not mind-numbing.
But hang on a second now, you just said to me that you're going to increase, it's going to increase the numbers of staff. The problem at the moment is they can't get any staff.
See, what it does, Conal, is it helps them to grow the business. Because if your business grows, right, then you need more people. At the moment, you cannot open a business if you don't have the staff. So if you solve the first problem of getting the food to the table, and obviously if the food is good, more people are going to come. So then you will be able to expand your business. So that's really what it's all about, is to help a business to grow hand in hand.
But, and I've watched the videos, when you say serving the customers, this tray on wheels comes out. I didn't listen to it. Does it go or something like that? And then a person, man or woman, has to go over and pick the food off the tray and serve it down.
You can do it two ways, Conan. So first of all, it's completely silent, right? So what it does...
So there's no...
No, absolutely no. It's not like in the movies. So you can do it two ways. It depends on the model that you want to set up. The first one is the actual patrons can take the food from the tray. A lot of people like to do that in a lot of different restaurants where the food drives right up to their table.
Because you are doing this in the States at the moment.
Yes, we're doing it all over the world, Conal. And
well, I was watching the videos in the States. And do they just say, oh, thanks very much? Or do people talk to the cobots?
Yeah, they do. The robot will arrive up to your table and you can program it to say anything you want. So the latest thing that some people do is if it's your child's birthday or your wife's birthday or whatever, it can go over to table 7 and sing happy birthday, and it can have the birthday cake on it. It's all, these are little gimmicks, but what we have to not lose sight of is what it's doing. It's serving the purpose of staff member walking, you know, 500 metres all the way back to the chef to stand there. And if you've been, which you have, like myself, been to many restaurants, what do you watch they're doing? The waiting staff are lying over the counter waiting for the food to be ready. Where instead of they could say, hey, Conal, how's the family? You know, a small little bit of interaction, because as everyone knows, loneliness is a big thing. People try to get out. But if you go out for a meal and nobody talks to you, it really compounds, you know, your misery. So it's really there to help.
Now, you do know a lot about robots, because why do you know so much about robots? Well, or cobots, or whatever you want to call them.
To be honest, Conal, I've been involved in robots for a very long time.
How long?
I would say maybe about 20 years, give or take.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I'm getting old. What can you do? I started out first working for Intel and learned a little bit there. Then I moved to various companies where I sold all types of robots, from high-speed robots to cobots to MIRs, which will travel throughout, you know, factory floors, you name it. I have sold it. We have fixed it. I mean, we've learned the hard way. I believe in people should learn how to do things from the ground up, right? They say education is fantastic, but you also need to learn and see how it works from the ground up so that you understand how it improves people's lives and businesses. All types of robots. It doesn't matter what it is. They're all...
So paint me the picture of the future. These things are not just available. They are being used. How many companies in the States, for example, because your company, Bear Robotics, is an American company. How many big companies, big names are using your robots, cobots or whatever at the moment?
So I'm going to paint you a picture. Globally, we have in use right now, if you looked at our service centre back in the States, we have 9,500 units working globally across all different sectors.
These are bare robotic units
only, yes. And we have them in a wide variety of locations. So we have it from your traditional food service. We have it in some supermarkets where some people use them to bring products up from one side of the supermarket to the other. Some people use it to greet patrons at a door and bring them down to a table.
I draw the line there. If I saw a little piece of metal saying hello to me, I'm gone.
But Conal, if you go, there's always three more behind you that might like it. It's the way of the future, my friend, because that is just the way technology should be used to do the mundane stuff, you know, let the humans do the interaction and the nice stuff.
But the interaction is a bit, hello.
I'll bring you back, right? If you go into a restaurant, what do they say to you? They say, hello, Conal, and they're gone. They bring you straight to the table and it's gone. There's no time for conversations because they're so understaffed. So this way now, it'll just give people more time to talk to you and go from there. you know?
So paint me the picture of the future, your future. What do you see? What do you think that, I mean, if these things, you have 9,500 at the moment, in 5 years' time, not a very long time away, how many units will Bayer Robotics have, or how many robots will the world have?
I would imagine, Conal, the growth is going to be exponential. And the way we would relate it back to, if you think about it, 10 years ago, the automotive industry was all manual. Now it is completely automated. Your car comes completely made. There is, yes, some human interaction, but the food industry now...
But of course, the less human interaction, the more we like it, because you see it's properly made.
Absolutely. And I completely get you. And the way it's going now... I would say there could be a 5x growth in the next 2 to 3 years, not even 5 years, because it's solving the problems that it needs. And if you think about it, a hotel or a kitchen of the future, the robot will do the food preparation, the burger flipping, as we discussed earlier.
But we did discuss that, and you told me that it doesn't really work. Why?
Because at the initial stages, there's nuance that's been developed now. The very first ones, it's like the very first mobile phone was too big, too cumbersome. And the biggest problem with any robotics anywhere is communication, right? They need to be all able to be tied together. So there's now software that will tie from one robot to the next robot and be able to do it all that way.
Do you read Robot Weekly or something? Or you obviously breathe, sleep and eat robots.
We actually do, Conal, and believe it or not, I don't. It's just by talking to fellow peers, because what I would always see, I like to see what people are doing and, you know, challenge, ask them what they're doing, how does it work. And what I find about the robot industry, it's the people that's leading from the forefront. It's a small amount of people, but they bring innovative products and they're very willing to tell you about how their product works. And what's refreshing about the robot industry is people are also very quick to tell you, listen, we can't do that yet because we can't solve that problem, because reputation is key. And what you'll find from Bayer Robotics is we'll never say to you, we can do X, because we can't, because you get one shot in life, even as Malachy Ryan, to build your reputation. And if you have honesty and integrity, the business will build. You say, listen, can't do this yet, but I should be able to do it in 6 months' time. And that's really what helps to grow a business.
You call your robots names, because I saw that one of the robots is called Chris, isn't that right?
Yeah, correct, yeah. And we have a robot in our own house back in Galway, and the kids...
You do not?
Yeah, and the kids called him Elfie, because we got him just 2 weeks before Christmas. So,
this year?
Yes. So Elfie brings the snacks to the boys. If they want some snacks from the press, they'll... We have a little system where it loads it up and brings it into the sitting room and goes...
Right. Just talk me through that. What does it do? Where does it go? Or has it got an arm? Or do you, head elf, have to go put it onto this little machine and then it travels out?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in the Ryan household, Daddy Elf loads it up at the moment. But what we've done is we've at certain locations, so it knows where the tree press is. The robot will go to the tree press. And then we have teached it to all the different locations in the house. So if they're in, say, the sitting room or the dining room, if you press button, you know, we've called it different names, press it and off it goes, and drive right up to the chair and goes, here is your food. So you can program the robot to say anything you want in terms of, you know, hello, Conal, or here's your food. So at the moment, say, it just says generic things like enjoy your dinner. And as soon as it takes it off, you see there's a weight sensor on it. So as soon as the food is taken, it knows and it goes, enjoy. And off it goes and back to
Bet
the next station.
But you can't get them upstairs yet, can you?
No, unfortunately. The only way a robot yet can go is downstairs, and you don't want to see the end result of that, unfortunately, you know.
So you are, if I understand correctly, in Galway you are two people at the moment, but you're growing. Because from Galway you want to take over all of Europe, because your full title is Sales Director EMEA, Europe, Middle East and Africa. And as you correctly say, it is a vast area.
Yes, correct. And what we're doing is we're growing the business slowly but correctly. And what we want to do is we're very proud of Irish roots. So we want to make sure that we build a sustainable business to hire more staff in Ireland to service, you know, EMEA, as we said earlier. But hey, there's no reason we can't do a lot more. We have plans maybe in 2 or 3 years' time to look at more R&D. We're constantly evolving because the Irish talent pool is second to none. And everywhere you go, in Europe especially, everybody likes the Irish people.
What your problem will be, and your robots can't fix this one because you need them to make the robots, is talent. The war for talent, that awful phrase, is just wicked out there. It's so difficult to find the right good people.
Absolutely, completely agree. But what I'm finding these days is to do with ethos. If your company has the right ethos, people want to work for you. One time it was, oh, hey, offer enough money and they'll come work for me. But that's a very quick solution. And then they go, oh, I don't like this talent, because what we do is, which is slightly different to everybody, is work finishes Friday. That's it. We won't contact you Saturday, Sunday. That's it. No matter whatever. If the room's on fire, that's not your problem. Work is over. People need rest time. So that's why we find that, and you have exciting products, people will always want to work for you. You know, that's, we've never had a problem attract talent yet. And please God, it will continue like that.
Now, build me the future. Paint me the picture. What will you, genuinely, that you actually know will happen in the next 2 or 3 years, what will the robots be doing at home?
At home?
Or in the workplace.
Yeah, well, so we can do it twofold. We can do the workplace first. So say let's take your conventional hotel, right? So we have a new model coming out. So if Colin decides at 1 o'clock in the night, oh man, I want a cheese sandwich. At the moment, you have to ring down and you know the process yourself, right? But now what happens is they just have one or two ladies or lads or whatever working in the kitchen. They assemble your sandwich. They put it into the robot. The doors automatically close. They press, say, 106 for Colin's room. The robot goes to the lift, calls the lift, up to the lift, goes to 106, rings Colin's phone, says your food is outside. You open the door. The robot drives in. You flash your key card on it, so it means you've automatically paid for it. You take your sandwich and the robot goes. No more does Connell have to be putting on his silk gown to impress the porter.
I'm always in my cigar.
Yeah, and your cigar, I can imagine, and your glass of brandy. I completely get that picture. But this is the way, that's one, the top end, what we would call, right? And that's the most exciting. Everybody I've talked to in the hotelier sector are like, when is this ready? When can I have it?
Is this expensive?
This one will be somewhere around the 30K, the first... You know, first
that's
couple
expensive.
Of hundred. Not really, because I'll tell you why. Once we get that,
Jeez,
we'll
be
then bring the price down.
You'd be able to selling a lot of cheese sandwiches to pay for that.
Well, you tell me what staff member, Connell, you'll get for 30 grand
Nil.
To work a night shift.
Nil.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think you've answered your own question, right?
Yeah.
And this, the thing about these is, these will last long number of years. Because if you think about it, as you rightly said earlier, it's basically electric motor, wheels, and a few sensors. So theoretically, they should run for a very long time, right? And if you think about it, way safer for people staying on their own, because honestly, there is a fear factor when people get stuff delivered, no matter what, besides the robot will come and do it. That's the first section. The second section, as you already alluded to, is there will be robots doing some of the stuff in the kitchen as much as, say, possible at the moment. So they'll do all the mundane tasks, making the burgers, doing the fries. Then it'll load it straight onto the robot. The robot will come straight to your table. And the next stage of evolution, which is pretty simple to do, and we're looking at it already, but it's a good few years down the line, is it'll take the plate and put it on, you know, onto your table, if that's the way you want to go.
You say that that's a few good few years down the
road.
Well,
it just depends, because there's no demand, Connell, at the moment for that, because people are...
But it's the arm, isn't it? The arm action. It's hugely difficult, that part.
It's not really...
The opposable thumb, Connell, is the big breakthrough
for
us,
I'll tell you why.
It
gets the power off the battery, right? And it's really only a six-axis arm. I mean, I've sold these about 10 years ago, and we had these in my house for ages doing... silly things, and the kids used to bring all the neighbouring kids in to see the robot, you know, stacking the shelves. Because what I do is, any product I've ever got, I make sure I'm able to do it. I'm able to fix it, you know, because if I went to sell a robot to you today, Connell, and you said to me, well, how does it work, Malachy? And I'm going, no, I'm not too sure, Connell, but give me the money anyway and we'll see you later. Besides, I'm able to sit down, take my time, show you how it works, explain it to you. Then you have confidence, because you're not buying a robot. You're buying a solution, right? So that's really what we're trying to do. But the future is really exciting, especially in robotic field.
Well, now, you hold that thought, because I'm going to ask you about the future of robots in the workplace in a second, but I have to take a quick commercial break. Back after this.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. you'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De facto shaving oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
And I'm here with Malachy Ryan, who is head of sales with Bayer Robotics, who is about to tell me about the future of robots and cobots in the workplace.
So, Carl, as we were saying, in the workplace, then what's going to happen is there's going to be, gone are the days, if you think about the big factories, and we have all worked for them at one stage, the Intels, the Boston Scientifics, the Medtronics. If their line broke and the simplest task was they had to walk all the way down to the stores to pick up their parts. Now, the simplest solution, ring down or whatever, and the robot will go and get the part, bring it back, move boxes from A to B. That's already in place, right? So there's nothing exciting. That's already
happening.
But isn't
one of the problems, and Tina Martin was on the podcast with me about this, and she is developing robots for the retail sector for shifting food around the place in food stores. Is robots still bash into people?
No. This is the good thing about it, Connell, is the new ones that we have, and these were out long number of years, but now the technology's gone so refined that robots have 3 and 4 cameras on it. So they detect ground level, 6 inches up, and up to your height and my height. So there's absolutely zero chance. And also they wouldn't be certified or allowed anywhere into Europe if they did touch a person. And navigation now has gone so good that if you are in the way, it'll just wait for a millisecond for you to move and then it'll go right around you. But say you are completely blocking a door, it would look on its map and go, oh, right, that door is blocked. There's another way to get to, say, point A or B, and off it goes. So they're completely safe. It's actually safer than a human, because I'm sure we've all seen many a person get knocked over, right, with people rushing from A to B. These guys, no matter what the rush is, will go at the speed that they're programmed to go at.
How big is the market, or how big will the market be? It sounds literally ginormous.
It is, absolutely. And that's why there's such a race. And if you look at all the global manufacturers, they are all racing now to solve the food industry, because automotive is done and it's kind of completely saturated now. And now, as I say, with electric
cars... But automotive
cars,
is static, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you know, the arms go up and down and all the rest.
Absolutely. Like when I was involved in robotics a long time ago, I mean, you get an order that time for 500 and 700 robots for factories, because the factories were so big. But now all of these big companies are now looking at food to go, hey, how can we solve it? What can we do? And be honest to you, I have never seen companies as excited, not even in our sector, but upstream and downstream, what I would call, say, the food prep side, say some of the stuff that your previous guest is doing. There's so much stuff that can be done, and it's really is enhancing how people live.
What is the wildest stuff that you've been told about that might see the light of day?
That's a good question. I have seen lots of stuff, and some stuff I can't really tell you about, because, to be honest with you, there's some stuff that's going to be mind-blowing the next 2 to 3 years.
Come on, what do you mean you can't tell me who?
Because, believe it or not, a lot of people I would talk to, Connell...
They won't know it's you, I promise.
Well, unfortunately, they kind of might know, but we would be under... NDA with a lot of them, because I do a lot of consulting.
Oh, come on,
for
I need
companies.
To know something.
Well, I'll give you something theoretical, yeah. Right? Let me see now.
You heard it here, folks, first.
Yeah. Okay, you better all sit down. So the main thing, Conal, I think that's going to happen is really in the home space. There's going to be some serious stuff happening.
But wait till I tell you, what doesn't happen is with robots is the vacuum cleaners still don't really work, do they?
Depends on the brand, Conal. I'm here contradicting you all day, and I'm really feeling bad now, because it's like Conal says yes and Malachy says no.
I mean, you just ask, put it in the negative and see what he says.
Yeah, because some of them now are awesome.
The
know?
Roomba is meant to be the Rolls Royce, isn't it?
Absolutely. And believe it or not, we've done a lot with that in my previous life with my other company we worked for. We helped them and their stuff. I mean, some of the stuff they can do now, Conal, is just amazing. Like if you even look at the space on your robot lawnmower, like look where it was 5 years ago to where it is now. It's night and day, you know?
So tell me about the one that you don't want to tell me about.
You love to push, don't you?
I need to know. I'm a child inside. And I just want to dream of what's the future, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what they're saying, kind of the future in, say, from the home space side is, and like a lot of people might be delighted or not delighted to hear this, but it's going to do an awful lot of the household chores from...
Ironing?
Yes, it can do that. Well, that can be done now, right?
Did you ever see the attempt? First of all, the thing is as big as a house itself. And secondly, the output is rubbish.
Yeah, but I don't know, Colin, where are you to be looking at things? It's not the same as I to be looking at them, because everything now is getting smaller and quicker and just faster and cheaper, which is
amazing. Tell me what the one that is tickling you is. I really want to know. You know something. I mean, you know lots, I know, but you know something that you don't want to tell me.
Well, how about this? I'll flick it back to you. You tell me what your biggest problem is and I'll tell you if it can be solved. How about that?
Well, try ironing, trying hoovering.
Well, you know hoovering can be done already.
No, they don't do it properly.
Ouch. I don't know where you'd be hoovering. It's not the same house I'd be hoovering in. Seriously, think and tell me the biggest problem that you foresee and I'll tell you if it can be automated. How about that?
God, you got me on that one.
It's nice to see them quite for change.
Up and down the stairs, say. Anything. Like some form of an escalator for the private home, if you like.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, that can be done if you have enough money. That's not a holy grail, Colin.
Anything is possible.
But if you think about it.
Tell me your darkest secrets. Tell me something. Just, and I'll stop then. How about that?
Well, if you've seen, let me see. So what do you want? Something from my home side or from...
Whichever. What is the... I said to you at the very beginning, what is the wildest thing that you know is coming down the tracks? That you're going to say,
the walking human robot, that is the... thing that's really, like, if you've seen it from Boston Dynamics, that thing is unbelievable.
And jumping around,
that is
dancing.
Nearly there now. And I mean, same with the dog. You've probably seen Spot the dog, the robot thing. Yeah. But the advances they have in that is just going to be scary in the next.
Won't replace my dog, I hope.
Yeah, we know that. But I mean, they've from what they're doing with it, like from a security viewpoint and how they're doing all that stuff, is just outrageous. I mean,
you better do two things. You better give another shout out for the people that you're trying to hire. Anybody who wants, you're looking for what kinds of people?
So at the moment, we are looking for technical people, people who can do software, who can do robot installations. They're the main guys and ladies we're looking for at present. Further down the track, we'll be looking for logistics people, but the technical people is what we want. People that's willing to travel for an exciting career. This is the thing. And we offer a hybrid system where you can work from home or you can go into an office if you want, because these days, right, everybody is in their office once they have their laptop or their phone.
And you're getting into the ground floor, because there's only two of you in Ireland at the moment.
Absolutely.
So it's about as ground floorish as you can get. Now, the final question that we ask all guests. Did you read your email?
I didn't, Conor, no.
Okay. We ask people, and I knew you didn't. I don't know why.
I'm bold like that. I can't help.
Hire in a heartbeat. Who would Malachy Ryan hire in a heartbeat? Can be alive, can be dead, and you can have two or three choices if you so wish.
Yeah, well, I honestly only would have one, Conor, and you probably can guess who it is. I would take Michael O'Leary even today, if he's willing to come work with me, he's there, because... for a man that can get free advertisement from anything, I'm like, oh my God, that is just amazing. He can do, and where he's come from to where he's going is just amazing.
And the one that I always remind people of, back in the day, if you tried to get from here to UK, you've almost had to take out a mortgage.
Absolutely.
And nowadays we just hop on it like it's the local bus.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And it was transformative for this economy, our booming little economy. Malachy, please come back to me. Actually, send your robot now, your cobot next time. That is Malachy Ryan of Bear Robotics, who is hiring, and you can get them at bearrobotics.ai, is it?
Correct, Conal, that's it, yes.
Because that's from memory. That's not bad, is it?
No, it's good.
That only proves that I looked at your website, you know. Malachy, a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 121. We deliver 45 minutes of business insights and inspiration thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie, the only place to find your next car, new or second hand. And those who run the country's 250,000 SMEs do need constant encouragement, and what better way to do so than to send them a link to this podcast? You'll always learn something new for your business from our great guests, just like now. You know where to find a robot, and you know what they'll be doing, or a cobot. If you're on LinkedIn, do repost us there. If your business would like to advertise us, contact us also on LinkedIn. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee, I'm not a robot, Brennan, is today's sound engineer. Later, Neil Horner adds his mechanical magic in post-production. The same team also works with us on our second podcast series, Ireland's legal podcast, The Fifth Court. We can make your podcast dreams come true. We bring podcasting to another level. And don't forget to buy Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. So from me, Conal O'Moran, Míle Buíochas for listening, agus slán tamall.